Funny, I'm in this suite at the top of Chicago.
Yeah.
Like, right up. It's amazing up here. It's where we met Bill Clinton the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Came round and found me asleep on the sofa and I crushed Velvet's number.
Oh, yeah.
It's classic. Beautiful day.
Yeah.
Chicago, just realised I'm in town. We got in last night.
Yeah.
At about 4 o'clock in the morning, so I've just really... After doing a couple of hours' work, I'm just getting myself, just realizing it's sunny outside.
Yeah, were you aware that the Chicago Peace Museum have an event on on Saturday?
Yeah, I'm going to go down and see him.
Oh, great, because somebody wanted us to mention that. They were trying to get in touch with Principal to mention that.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, yeah. So, the support acts then, you were saying? Are they as wide-ranging as they were in the States? Because you've had bands like Rage Against the Machine and Oasis.
So. Yeah, we've got, in Germany we have Fantastic Fear, which are a hip-hop act, Fantastic Four, and maybe, I can't remember, is it Republica or, who else is on that bill, let me think, oh God, she's a great singer, Madonna, no,
If you remember, you can phone us back.
What's her name? Skunk Anansie.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, she's great. Yeah.
I think they're playing in Rotterdam.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
And what else? I can't actually remember. The names have been up and down and all over the shop.
Well, Sarajevo would be the highlight of the tour as far as you're concerned.
It's going to be a personal highlight for me, because I've been trying to get to play in Sarajevo for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We're still working out the details of what kind of show it's going to be, whether we go with the full rigmarole and the full lemon, full bowl of fruit, or whether we should just go in a stripped-down way.
Yeah.
And that's what we can't quite decide, because...
you think it might not be appropriate to take the lemon?
That's what I'm thinking, and I don't know. I'm just not quite sure. Plus, I would almost prefer just to say, look, here's our services or nothing. We'll pay all. We'll just arrive there. You put on a gig.
Mm.
That way, they don't have to charge people in, or they could run a free concert. They could do whatever they wanted.
Yeah.
We just give our services to them.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to figure out which would be best.
Mm. We've had a question in from Peter Lunarkic. He lives in Slovenia, and he says that U2's one of the most popular bands there since the early days, but you've never played there. He wanted to know if you'd got any plans to ever play, or if you just go and record a video or something, because he says there are so many fans who'd love to see you.
Well, I mean... I would love to play, and on this tour we're trying to play anywhere we can. It might be that there isn't the right venue, or something like that is stopping it. But you should keep campaigning. And
because he says there are a lot of fans there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I'd love. We get amazing letters from that part of the world.
Yeah. Going back to Pop Bono, are you pleased with its reception so far by fans and critics? You know, it's got good reviews all around and it's reached number one. You know, is our record doors important to you, or are you more concerned with how the creation of it makes you feel?
I think there's two phases of this album. One is, it's got our best reviews probably ever, but it's confused some of our fans. No question.
Yeah.
And I think what's going to happen is that with time, the songs are going to emerge from the record. And by about by Christmas, or maybe by after Christmas, I think people are going to look back and go, God, that album has that song, and that song, and that song, and that, it's just going to be one of those albums that's a sleeper.
Yeah, but I think when an album's first released and there's a tour coming, people just tend to listen to the album so that when they go to the concerts they can get into it, but they don't really seem to find some things in it until a bit later, I don't think.
That's, you know, if we made one error on this whole tour, it was putting the tickets on sale before the album was out and all that. It was a crucial error for us, because it just meant that people haven't had enough time here in the US to really sit with the album.
Yeah.
And in Europe it's going to be different. People will have, you know, have had time with it.
And of course you perhaps weren't as ready as you should have been, because you said you said that you weren't actually, you were behind schedule in getting the tour rehearsed and whatever.
Yeah. No, it's a very complicated thing, and we spent a lot of time on designing it and pulling it, you know, together, but actually getting just physical time with the to rehearse was difficult. And in Las Vegas, the sun was so hot during the day, we couldn't work during the day.
Mm.
I had to work at night.
You're not used to that being Irish.
What's that?
You're not used to the heat being Irish.
No, it was unreal.
Yeah.
And then I had these peacocks at this place where I was staying, some peacock ranch, some mad place. And they were up at 7 o'clock in the morning, a bunch of peacocks, they make a racket, really loud noise. So Gavin Friday was staying with me, he got one of those plungers, you know, those water guns.
Oh yeah.
Or like a super soaker. We were shooting the peacocks up the arse, trying to get them trying to get them off our back. But you know, as the only people who actually criticised the first show in Las Vegas, funnily enough, were the British critics.
Mm.
I think because they really wanted it to all be right there on the spot. They'd been hyped up, and they were tired, and they'd come a long way, and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But actually, the New York Times gave it a rave review. Lots of people did. It was a bit ropey, no question. but it was still better than anything else anyone else is doing.
Exactly.
And you know, it was in its tentative stage. Now it's got its swagger and it's got its confidence, but there's something nice about when the band has an off day. Actually, you see other sides of the songs.
Yeah. You mentioned Gavin Friday then. Robbie Robinson from Los Angeles was mentioned on the Pop's list of credits. Gavin was there as consultant poptician. He wanted to know if that involved anything specific or if it was just an honorary title.
Well, he just came in at a time when there had been very little sleep, and we'd worked to get to this deadline. And we probably should have had a break for a month, you know, after working on it for 6 months, then got back and we might have finished it quicker. So when Gavin came in, he just brought kind of objective ears. And he's also, as well as being very, you know, out there as a performer and as a writer, he's just very smart. He's just got a lot of common sense about things. And I think Flood enjoyed having him around. I think so did Harry.
Yeah. On the Pop album, the lyrics are credited to you and Edge, whereas it's usually just you. Was this a conscious decision? Did you collaborate more on them, or was it just the way it happened?
Well, Edge was very helpful with editing. And we got, because we've been writing, you know, he's always been good at that, and because we've been writing a few songs together for other people, whether it was Willie Nelson or Sinatra or whatever, Edge had been kind of getting interested in writing there, so I said, look, if you want to just jump in on this, seeing as, you know, we're working as an editor. And he did, and he wasn't involved in all of the songs, but he was there he was just there for me, should I need him.
Yeah.
And he's very good, he'd throw a line in here or an argument there, something about it was made it easier for me.
Mm. Whose idea was it to put a camera in the studio during the recording of Pop and to make the pictures accessible on the internet? Was it fun to do? Yeah.
Certainly wouldn't have been mine.
I didn't think it would be.
So I guess it must have been...
It must have been
either Adams or Edges.
Yeah.
But did you see those pictures?
Yes, we saw some of those pictures. It was quite strange, some of them. Whose sense of humour was it? They put like cardboard cutouts and things like that. I think
that might have been Howie.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You were interviewed live on the net earlier this year on the Dave Fanning radio show. Was that sort of strange, knowing you were going out live to those many people and that anyone in the world could access it?
It's very interesting. I'm almost trying not to get enthusiastic about it, but I'm finding myself excited. I'm hearing Sebastian, Adam's brother, talking about this new website that we've gotten going.
Oh yeah, I was going to mention that. Yeah.
I am starting to get drawn in a bit.
It's very addictive.
You see, I think rock and roll's always been a bit of a culture, music, and getting to know what's going on is part of it, word of mouth.
Yeah.
And so I guess this has become the village pump now, where you can meet people and find out what's going on.
Exactly.
What are the better gigs to go to? Mm. What are the ones not to go to? And an interview like that just feeds into that whole thing, and people just get up, they get up to scratch on what you're doing.
That's right. Sue Fell of Carlisle asks, was MSN the only option for the official site? Because not everyone can access that. Was that something, who decided that? Or
it's not really a question for me, but as I understand it, everyone is supposed to be able to access it.
Yeah,
it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be both on the World Wide Web and on theirs.
Yeah.
So it has two faces, two sides. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I signed off on.
Yeah.
And that apparently a lot of websites are really boring.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got a relationship with them where they said, look, you'll have a free and easy access for everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to work with you on making a great site, and we'll help you with some of the costs.
Yeah.
So it's a very kind of, I guess, soft relationship we have with them. We're not bound up with them at all.
No.
But from what I pick up from Seb, they've been very good, very honest.
Yeah.
And they don't want, big billboards for themselves or anything. They just want to be involved in something great.
Mm. Yeah. You too saw the 90s in with the Point Depot concert. Have you thought of doing anything similar for the new millennium, doing a live show from Dublin for the year 2000?
No.
Or would
you? Band on the moon.
On the moon, that would be good.
That would be so good. I think NASA.
We couldn't all get up there, though.
Live from the shuttle.
Yeah.
That would be very Elvis of us.
Well, it would, yeah. Speaking of Dublin, has the August the 30th show been... I heard today that it's Lansdowne Road, is that true?
Yeah, I think it's... I'm nearly sure that that's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel in general about playing in your hometown? Because we got the feeling last time that you felt a bit more scrutinised in Dublin than anywhere else.
Yeah, they've been causing a lot of shit for us just in the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Giving out about Phoenix Park, whether we should do it. Giving out that we were doing it, then giving out that we weren't.
You're not doing it, yeah, you can't win.
So, but in the end, all that stuff, all that media stuff, has actually nothing to do with the people who come to our concerts and the people who buy our records. We have our own, that's our constituency.
Yeah.
And so we have to always remind ourselves that that's different.
Yeah.
And I think the crowd will be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I think it will be a very special event. It's just the bullshit around us which is going to drive us.
Yeah.
Paddy Gibner, he's a Dubliner living in North Carolina in the States. And he asked about the way you felt that you get so much bad press in Dublin, and about the Dublin people in general seem to begrudge your success.
Well, as I was saying, that they're the old guard.
Mm.
There's a new generation and a new point of view coming through in Dublin at the moment for the 90s.
Yeah.
Where people are up, optimistic, and sharing our success, feel a part of it, feel that they have a stake in us as we've got a stake in the city.
Mm.
The old guard thinking is a hangover from the days when to be a success in Ireland, it meant you had to compromise or collaborate with, I guess, the British. I think it was that. And it's some old, deeply rooted suspicion of success going back like hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And it's over now. That's very boring. It's very un-90s.
Yeah.
Thankfully, there's a newer generation coming through that actually just, they like it or they don't like it.
Yeah.
Do press reports bother you? Because there seem to be sort of wild, fantastic stories that always crop up where they either make them up or just take a little fact and exaggerate it. Does it bother you or do you just ignore it?
I'm now starting to realise that there's a media life and then there's real life.
Mm.
And in the media life, I don't really mind how they distort our picture. They're sort of like those House of Horror mirrors. and sometimes the end result can be quite fun. But the fact, at the moment, we're getting people sort of seem to want a band like us to fail, which is interesting.
Mm.
That there's a kind of, they're giving us a bit of a push and a bit of a thump to see what will happen.
Mm.
And it's nothing's going to happen because we've been here before. It's always been a struggle for us. We've always been outsiders in the end, and we're not really part of the mainstream. And we play with it now and then, but we depend on the relationship that goes on between us and the people who listen to our records. That's basically it.
Yeah.
And there's a very, unique relationship we have there. We don't need those people.
No.
Sometimes I look at a group like the Grateful Dead and the way they operated. They never did any interviews. They only did they talked to their own people. It was just through fanzines.
Yeah.
And I can see the appeal to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's going to happen is we're just, the tour is flying. It's just, it's amazing at the moment.
Yeah.
And people keep coming and going, I thought this was a problem. And I was like, well, yeah. And it's just perception, but it's not fact.
Yeah.
These are some of the best shows we've ever played. We're doing better business than we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Here and there, in the first few weeks, we had a few bumps, but that was always going to happen when we put the tickets on sale, the way we did.
Mm. Yeah. The latest reports over here have been that the band have now gone all vegetarian, that they seem more interested in that than any of the shows.
We've stopped eating each other now. Larry's veg. I think Larry's always been a vegetarian.
Mm. They even gave menus out of what the band were eating and what you were ordering to have backstage and so forth. They seemed to think it was very impressive. It didn't mash about the music as long as they got the veggie burgers.
Outrageous.
Mm.
Yeah.
We've got another question here from...
I think that's probably the one thing Larry doesn't eat is a veggie burger.
I've noticed that a lot of vegetarians don't actually like vegetables. We tend to get these sort of veggie burger things. We've got a question from Donna Jubb of Delaware. She says she gets the impression that fame has become its own monster lately, and she feels, listening to things you've said recently, that maybe you'd be happy to go back to things the way they were, but don't know how to now. Is that way off the mark?
Good question.
Mm.
Yeah, I can get a bit of... It's been fun here and there playing with it.
Yeah.
But it's a murky thing, and I think we might have to draw the blinds on it at a certain point in time. But right now, while we've still got the bottle, I think it's good to be out there and to be, you know, loud and proud. But we might have to go back to a more private way of more private place,
yeah,
regarding our music and the way we put it out.
Yeah, it's like the rally concert that was cancelled because the screen broke down, however true the reports were. But Edge said in a recent interview that there'd be no problem going ahead with the show, but he couldn't expect people to pay the price for the ticket without all the the technology.
Right.
But I think more people would than you actually think. You know, people we've spoken to would say they'd rather see you two stripped down technologically than not see them at all.
Well, I think, I think that's what we would do. I mean, we'd be no problem doing that. The problem is that if you play in a stadium and you're stripped right down, the people, half of the crowd can't see very much.
Yeah.
And so it's fine for the people in the front rows. But we were trying to make this just a very extraordinary event, very special event, and the extra price, whatever it is, a few dollars on the ticket is that, I mean, it's been spent. It's not going into our pocket. You know what I mean? It's on the stage. It's on the putting on of the show. I enjoyed playing Tibet stripped down.
Mm.
We played with the same fire as we play any time.
Oh yeah.
Which is the thing. But you know, there will come a time. Yeah, I mean, it's you can't imagine what it's like putting on these shows. It's like, as I tell people, it's like making a movie.
Yeah, people don't appreciate it because we just come along and see the end result.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a lot of stuff involved in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there could come a time when we would strip it down.
Yeah.
And just shut the doors and just play to our people and get on with it and stop stop trying to connect with stop trying to connect with the rest of the world.
Yeah. With that sort of thing, have you ever been asked to do an MTV Unplugged session? Because I think you two would be really brilliant.
We went electronic just as everyone else.
Typical.
So maybe when it comes round again and everyone's doing electronic, that's the time.
Yeah.
To do Unplugged.
Yeah, I think that'd be really good. Have your families and friends flown over to the States to see some of the concerts?
Beg your pardon?
Have your families and friends flown over to see some of the concerts?
Yeah, it makes turn up on my birthday by surprise.
Uh-huh.
Family's been around more than ever. It's been amazing, actually. It's like this mad caravan of all kinds of people just travelling the globe. It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go now because Adam and Larry are just in downstairs and we're supposed to see them at 4 o'clock.
Oh, right. That's great. But thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's meant a lot to us.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant. It's brilliant to talk with you and we'll see you in Europe.
Yeah, yeah, we will. We'll see you certainly in the UK in Dublin. Have a great tour between now and then.
God bless.
Thanks very
thanks
much, Barney.
Bye-bye.
Bye. We covered all the questions that were really important, I think, didn't we?
About half an hour, haven't we? Let's hope it's all going.